Magic word?
Ochez.
Okay, is that a Hebrew word or an English word?
Lav Davka.
Okay. Diamonds on the soles of the shoes. Okay, it's 12:30. We can start, right? Yesterday, we learned through the Mishnah and the Gemara and raised the various issues about the basis of Tfisa and the role of the Shvua. And today, we're going to see how the Rishonim process all the information we spoke about yesterday. We'll start seeing, you know, mainly about the basis of Tfisa, which obviously has implications for how you see the Shvua, which is something we'll get to in Yirtzeh Hashem tomorrow. Let's start with how the Rishonim understand the basis of Tfisa. And there are basically two approaches, not surprisingly, based upon what we saw yesterday, whether it's rooted in the Tfisa, you know, the Achlok was rooted in the Tfisa or not. If you say not, then the question becomes, what is it rooted in? And here we find two different approaches in the Rishonim. What did you guys see? Who has an approach to Yachloku that's not rooted in Tfisa, but rather something else?
The Riva.
The Riva? Who said that? Edinger? Okay, that's correct. We're just going to start with the other one. Not because it's incorrect, just, you know. We're going to start with one of the other Rishonim, besides the Riva. Who else? Who could they be besides the Riva? There were any other Rishonim not named Riva? Can't be. I see the lights still not on in the base medrash. Is that correct? I'm going to send the text to the people there. Yep. Where are we holding lights? Lights. Okay. Okay. So you guys had a chance to think about it. Who else holds it doesn't depend on the Tfisa? The Rashba. How could we forget the Rashba? Let's take a look at page 3. The Rashba says, after discussing it, Umi ule'ikra kushin nirli od l'taritz, Dishani hacha, deleka l'mekam ala demilsa, v'cho l'hecha deleka l'mekam ala demilsa, yachloku. Obviously, he's taking this from the sugi in Baba Basra, right? On Daf Beis Amid Beis, in fact, the Rashba uses this assumption to ask kashas on Rashi. He's so convinced about this. So the Rashba is explaining our sugya using the concepts in Baba Basra. Yachloku is something we say when leka lemekam ala demilsa. Now, the question is, why didn't the other Rishonim say this? So the simplest thing to say is that maybe other Rishonim held that this factor of leka lemekam ala demilsa is rejected in the maskana. Because if you remember, the sugya in Baba Basra was mentioned to reconcile between Zeo Meshel Avosai and Shnei Shtaros, but then we had the kasha of Machlef Parah B'Chamor, which we answered with Dror de Mamon, and the question is whether Lekam Lekam de Milsa even exists. But the second thing that needs to be discussed, and this is a much, you know, broader conversation, is whether our case should be classified as Lekam Lekam de Milsa. Is our case a case of Lekam Lekam de Milsa? And we find the similar machlokas brought by the Rashbam in his Pirush on Baba Basra, regarding how to understand the kasha asked from Machlef Parah B'Chamor, right? The Gemara asks that a kasha on what came before in the Gemara. The Rashba brings two deos about whether that case is leko or ikam ala demilsa, the Yesh Meforshim in the second Rashbam. Now, you know, this brings us to a broader question, which is, what are these machlokas based upon? Why would one view it as leka and one view it as ika? So you could say it's a local question. How much of a chance is there in the case of Machlef Parah B'Chamor? How much of a chance is there in the case of Shnai Mochsin that we can be make a Meladi Milsa or not? Okay, that's the question. It could be a broader question, though. Not what the chances are in each case, but what the definition of Lekka Lamekam is. Meaning, what level, what percentage or level of possibility classifies as Lekka or Ika? It could be everyone agrees in our case there's a 52% chance. Question is 52% enough for to be considered Ika or Leka? And this question could be, why is there a difference between Ika and Leka, Lamekam ala demilsa? Anyone? Why would Leka, Lamekam ala demilsa lead to Lach Tiyach Loku as opposed to Ika?
If it's Ika, perhaps we prefer called on Gvar.
Why would Ika lead to that?
It's the preferred din then. Because at the end of the day, we would rather...
It's part of a broader conversation about what's preferable. I'm saying, but why would Ika cause kol dolim? Why would the preferability of kol dolim gvar depend on Ika or Leka? What are the implications of Ika or Leka?
That's the question. To be clarified, we don't want to give half of it to somebody who's not worthy.
So again, the fact that it could be clarified, complete the thought. The fact that Ika lemekem alo demil, so yeah.
The fact that it could be clarified means that we should go for the complete right din, which would be called al gvar.
Why would the fact that it could be clarified impact how we should decide what we're doing when it's not clarified?
Because we're trying to achieve MS.
That's a separate question. That it doesn't depend on Ika or Leka. That's the broader question that we were discussing yesterday. So the Rashbam in Baba Basra uses terms that sound like Ziluta de Bedina. We're often afraid of Bezdin paskening when something could happen that'll become clarified and it'll undermine the psak of Bezdin. So one can say, you know, as long as it may become clarified, we don't want to say achloku. Right? Because then it'll be clarified and we'll look foolish. We'll cause an under, but like alamekim adamilsa, then we can say achloku. That's one way of explaining it. I think there's another way of explaining it. And that is that as long as Ika lemekem ala demilsa, Bezdin is not mechuyev to paskin. They leave it open. And leaving it open are things like kol dolim gvar. But as soon as leka lemekem ala demilsa, there's no chance anything more is going to be clarified. So now we have to paskin. The nafkamina of how you see the basis of the significance of leka lemekem ala demilsa would be what level would you need in order for it to be considered leka lemekem ala demilsa? Meaning, is it as soon as there's no reasonable possibility, right? As soon as there's no reasonable possibility, it's already leka lemekem ala demilsa. There's no chash of zilusa de beidina. But if it's that bezin is mechuyiv to paskin, once it's leka lemekem ala demilsa, that may require a higher level of leka. To generate a chiyuv on Bezdin to Paskin, for that you need mamish leka. It's impossible. So I'm just trying to show you how this question of what qualifies as leka malei demilsa could be rooted in the significance of leka demilsa. And that, you know, is important here in trying to determine whether our case is a case of leka lemeka ala demilsa. Edinger, can you say leka lemeka ala demilsa 10 times fast? Go. Uh-huh. Do you think because you put your thumb up, we trust you that you can say it 10 times fast? I don't think you can say it 10 times fast. I don't think you could say 10 times fast, 10 times fast. The stamina. Okay. The mic is broken again. Okay, until he needs it, the mic is broken. All right. So this is the approach of the Rashba. I think there's another Rishon who holds it doesn't depend on Tfisa, but I've forgotten who that was. Who was the other Rishon who said it doesn't depend on Tfisa? Anyone know? Does anyone know? Somebody in the beginning of the year mentioned a different Rishon. I just forgot who it was. Who was it to mention one of the other Rishonim? It doesn't depend on Tfisa. Okay. So this would be, of course, the Riva, quoted by Tosfos and Baba Basra, also quoted as a Yesh Omrim in the Chachmei Sfar. The Riva says, we say Achloku in any circumstance where... Anyone? Where?
There's no Vada Ramai.
We don't have a Vada Ramai.
Like a Ramai.
We're like a Ramai, yeah. Oh. Where does he get this from, of course?
Rabbi Yossi.
Gimel and Aleph, the Gemara's discussion there. Now, before we get to cross-referencing the Riva with the Rashba and talking about the conceptual basis, let's first talk about the technical issues. Right, Tosis raises a couple of problems. First of all, you have to assume that the case of Arava, right, in Baba Basra, is a case of Vadei Ramai. The Ramban, by the way, makes that assumption. If you take a look at, page 4, number 2. First source you have here is the Tosfos, quoting the Riva, the second of the Ramban. V'yesh Omrim, The riba. The hasam hainu tami that meaning called the langvar. Mishum devada ikaramoi vi demar lav demar, etc. etc. Okay. Others disagree with whether the case of arva is vadai ramoi. Tosus himself raises another problem. What's the problem Tosus raises? No.
You have to say, from the fact that we compared our case to the case of Manchuji, that our case is Lavdavka Uchsin.
You're already talking about the sheet that holds that it depends on Tvisa. We'll get to that. What problem does Tosus raise with the Riva? We're raising problems with the Riva. Edinger is leaving in protest because, you know, how could we ask Kashas on the Riva? It's terrible. The only one of the Rishonim. Tosa says they ain't near it. The high time below Masik Eluukmi Masnitzik Rabbi Yossi. This issue of Ada Ramay or not was only used to reconcile with Rabbi Yossi, not according to the Rabbanon. What's the answer for that, Kasha?
The connection that we make to Chanmani Alpin Kasa.
Right. Meaning one can say that in the Maskana Ramos is significant for the Rabbanon too. As we see in the continuation of the Gemara, when they asked the Kasha about Chen Vini versus Manashlishi, according to Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon, as we pointed out yesterday. So that would be the backdrop to the Riva. Okay. Just appreciating this Machlokas for a second before we go on to Rov Rishonim, we'll hold that it does depend on Tfisa. I think if you think about it for a moment, you realize that the Rashba and the Riva are disagreeing with one of the questions we asked yesterday. Which psak do we prefer? Which psak do we prefer according to the Riva? Edinger. No, which psak do we prefer according to the Riva? We prefer. We prefer.
Yachloku.
We prefer what?
Yachloku.
Yachloku. We say it anytime there isn't a Vada Ramay. Vaday Ramay keeps us from saying Yachloku. We don't want to award the Ramay. How about the Rashba? What does he prefer? The Rashba seems to prefer called Al-Gvar. Right, because the Rashba is saying that we only say Yachloku when Leka Lamekam Allah Demilsa, right? We don't prefer Yachloku. We say Yachloku when there are circumstances that force it. The norm is kol de'olam gvar. Why would a person prefer kol de'olam gvar? So here there's a very famous Rush in Siman Aleph here, and the Rush in his Tshuvas, where the Rush explains that the psak of kol de'olam gvar isn't Bezdin walking away. It's something that which allows the natural forces to play out in a way that we rely upon, right? We assume that the one who ends up with it is right, either because he'll be successful at bringing proofs or he'll fight harder to keep it, right? It's not just abandonment, right? We believe in it. We believe in it. According to the Riva, we can say Kol Dolan Gevar is not a real psak, just Bezdin walking away. And a simple nafkamina of this is what the Shita Mukubetzis discusses in the bottom of page 4 about Tfisa Choseret. Right? Let's say Kol Dolan Gevar, Reuven and Shimon are fighting it out, Reuven wins, and then Shimon goes back and takes it from Reuven. So the Rush says, it doesn't work, right? It's just Pama Rishona. But the Sheet Megbetis quotes the Sheet Lo Noda Lami, the Elu Advarim Inim Berum Etzli Sha Tam Sharma Kol Dalem Gvar Mipnei Sheein Bezin Skukin Lizakek Ledinon Kevin Deleka Droid Omono Letavai Velekan Mekam Led Milsa the Kevin Shekein Noach Laanicham Lasos Kiritzonim Velo Nasa Anu Din Shiyocho Lava Liditos. The Shita understands it as walking away. If we've walked away, so we let them keep fighting it out. The Rush says we believe the one who fought it out the first time is really the owner. Okay, any questions about this? Because as I mentioned a few moments ago, we have the Rashba, we have the Riva, and that's one approach to the Sugi here, but they are the Das Miut. Rov Rishonim understand that our case, where we say Achloku, is because of Tfisa, Pashup Shat in the Mishnah, right? Now, here comes the trick question. Who in the early Rishonim, who are the first Rishonim to say this, that it depends on Tfisa?
Rashi.
Oh, thank you very much, John. That's a trick question. You said exactly what I wanted you to say. Now, it's not just John. The Mordechai, the Hagos, my money, the Shita Mekubet says, many Rishonim understood from Rashi on Bezim and Aleph, I assume that's the one you're talking about, John, that it depends on Tfisa. And Rashi does mention Tfisa. So assumably, John is right. So why do I say it with such, why do I disagree? If you look carefully at Rashi, what's Rashi coming to explain? The root principle of when we say Yachloku? What's Rashi coming to explain? Let's say we were reading Rashi, trying to actually understand him, and not just because we're looking for brisker varts and things to underline in our Gemara. So, what would we understand him to be speaking about? We don't know. We don't know how to do that. It's Kfira. Edinger, you getting exercise during Shir? It's good to see. It's very nice. Okay, I've said it. Yeah. Okay. Rashi, I think, is explaining that it has to be Ochazin. Ochazin. Dafka Ochazin. Dishneem Muchzokin Ba. Ve'en leze koach ba yotem ize. She'ilu hoise biyad echad levado. Like the end of the Mishnah. It has to be when they're equal. Rashi isn't saying we need tfisa to generate yachloku. He's just saying there needs to be equality in order to be allowed to say yachloku. What would be according to Rashi when neither of them are oches? Maybe we would also say achloku, right? So, putting Rashi aside for a second, there are definitely early Rishonim who said this clearly. Who would those clear early Rishonim be? Anyone? One example is Rabbeinu Hananel. The other one is Rabbeinu Tam, often confused. And you have some Rishonim here, it's not clear if they were quoting Rabbeinu Hananel or Rabbeinu Tam, a chet and a tuf. Let's start with the Rashbam in Baba Basra, who quotes Rabbeinu Hananel. Hai Amar Didihu, velo ze v'ze muchzokin ba, adds the Rashbam. Mi delo rami alami masnisin, d'shnayim ochsin. The Rashbam is relating to the fact that the Gemara doesn't even mention our Mishnah. Our Mishnah must be a separate category. The Yachloku in our Mishnah is different than the Yachloku in Baba Basra, as opposed to the Rashba, right? The achloku in our Mishnah is when there's tfisa. Chachmei Sfarad quote this Rabbeinu Hananel as well. Tosfos, understandably, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra quote Rabbeinu Tam. Tosfos and Bava Metzia even explains, wait a second, how can we say tfisa? Let's see. The achloku tamed the Mishnah mehida arva damar kodel l'gvar perek chatzkes habatim. V'yesh lomar the ochas and shani. The chashev ki l'kod achad yesh lo babavada yachetzi anantanim atzapasayit izdehu. V'chein v'mon ashlishi. That was the problem because Mana Shlishi you don't have Tfisa. Dimidami Bigamara Latalis. Choshiv Ahusha Hanifka Tofes Precheska Shneem Kiluheim Atzmam Muchzakin Bo. You realize Tosis, the weak point is Mana Shlishi, right? We're applying Yachloku to Mana Shlishi. We know what the Riva would say about that, right? The Tosis believes it's about Tfisa. And therefore, he says there must be tfisa there too. I think this shita of tfisa is similar to the Rashba. The norm is called the Elim Gvar. The norm is called the Elim Gvar. We need tfisa to generate a psak of yachloku. The difference, of course, with the Rashba is that the Rashba needed lekelamekim elam milsa to generate yachloku. And we're using tfisa. So it's similar to the Rashba that the norm is not yachloku. It's different than the Rashba in what drives us out of the norm. Any questions? There's a chat here. The chat says, it looks like his mic is broken again. Okay, yeah, said it. All right.
Very quick question.
It's surreal. Everyone is tuned into their own computer in the base medrash. Maybe for tomorrow you guys want to put up one computer and sit together, the guys who are all together, if you want. Maybe you prefer it this way, whichever way you want. Yes, John, you can ask a question.
According to Tosfos, Would you say the preferred, when you say preferred, do you mean that that's the one that you normally go to, or that's the one that we want to go to? Meaning, I think according to Tosfos,
I'm using the word norm. I think the word norm is a better word.
Okay, because I think you would prefer to do Yachloku, but the norm would be.
We don't know what he prefers. We don't know what he prefers. At least I don't. Could be you do. Inside information. Okay. The last thing I want to talk about today is how Tfisa plays a role in generating Yachloku. Right? The norm is called Olam Gvar. Tfisa, you know, creates a Psak Vichel. How? Okay, what would you guys say? How? The answer is under Jacobson's fingernails. That's where the power comes from. No? Anyone? The answer is in Rimberg's pencil. No? How does Tfisa generate Yachloku? Where is my super suit? I think there's two ways we find in the Rishonim, and it could be we didn't pay attention to this Lishita Senu, that we only look at Rishonim in a very broad, you know, which Shita are they on our chart without actually reading what they say and looking at nuance, Chas V'Shalom, right? The first is to say that Tfisa keeps us from saying Kol De'Olam Gvar. Who says that Tfisa keeps us from saying Kol De'Olam Gvar? The Rush, correct. The Rush says more than this Rishon who predated him. There's a Rishon that predated the Rush who says less than the Rush. Let's take a look at the Ramban. The Ramban, we're now in, you know, number three here. The Ramban says like this. Rabbeinu Chananel Zal Kosef Shem at Perek Cheskes Abatim. Dahi Arav Alo Taf Tfisa Lo Tarvayu Elo Menachasi Besimto B'makim Shiyad Shneim Shove U'lefika Kol De'Olam Gvar. Avol Mishnasenu Shesneim Adukin Ba Ein Motzien Miyadam Lomar Kol De'Olam Gvar. We cannot allow a situation for someone who's holding on to something to have it taken out. We can't allow for Kol De'Olam Gvar. Everyone sees the Ramban says, Tosfos Ridge says very similar, by the way. And again, I think this is a view of Kol De'Olam Gvar. It makes a lot of sense if Kol De'Olam Gvar is a real psak and not just our walking away. If we're paskening Kol De'Olam Gvar, we're even facilitating that hotza'a. I think John is the one who mentioned that the Rush holds this way. In what way, John, does the Rush say more than the Ramban? The Ramban is minimalistic here.
Say
in English so I can know that you understand what you mean.
Meaning he says that when they're muchzak in the actual object, that force is based into now make a psak of chaluka.
That's a restatement of the halacha. That's not explaining why. The Ramban explains why. We cannot allow hotzah from a person, etc. Yeah. The Rush and Tosfos and Baba Basra say similar but explain a little bit more. What do they add to the Ramban? Let's see, second source, page 5, number 3. Again, similar to the Ramban. We can't allow for Kol De'Olam Gvar. Etc. It's not just we can't allow it. We can't allow it because we believe that there's ownership. We believe that an object is shayach to the one who's holding on to it. It's more than what the Ramban said. It's similar. Tfisa keeps us from saying Kol De'Olam Gvar, but the question is how strongly it keeps us from saying Kol De'Olam Gvar. All this is the first approach, that Tfisa keeps us from saying Kol De'Olam Gvar. What's the second approach? The second approach is more. The second approach is yummy. Could be not a lot of Rishonim said it, but it's yummy. I don't know if you guys know that one of the first articles I wrote on Torah was on the Sugya of Shnai Mochsin. I don't know if you know. Okay. Since then, I stopped writing and started learning. But in any case, I was 18. I think it's in Beis Yitzchak. You can read it. If you can see what simplistic learning is and how you're supposed to continue growing, and hopefully you'll all continue growing in your learning. Tzadikim are mishalachim. They're always moving, right? What does Tosfos and Baba Metzia say as opposed to everything we've seen thus far about Tfisa? You're from the Kaslau school of reading Hebrew words and having me interpret it for you.
No, bivadai. I put
what's different
on
about
bivadai.
What Tosfos says as opposed to the other we shown him? What?
Yeah, I'm putting emphasis on the word bivadai. The Tosfos believes that this is the MS more than just like being dovek.
Thank you. Okay. Can you tell me what the difference is between Tosfos and the others? Is the word vadai the difference? It's an important word, but it's not the base difference. As opposed to all the other Rishonim we saw, who say that Tfisa keeps us from saying Kol De'olam Gvar, Tosfos and Baba Metzia holds that Tfisa causes us to say Yachloku. It gives us reason to say Yachloku. Now Shlomo read the words, right? Shlomo gets the award for underlining the right words in Tosfos. Very nice. Okay. It's an award.
Rabbi, that's kind of like giving a graduation to the person
who can't get any real award. What?
Rebbe, you're saying that the reason that we don't say Kol De'olam Gvar is because Tfisa shows that there's ownership, and the Tosfos says the reason that we say Achloku is because there's ownership. So both of the Rishonim agree that what Tfisa does is cause ownership. The Chiddush in both of them is that we view it as a Vardai ownership on behalf of the Talis. That's the Chiddush of the Rishonim.
Eitan, I like the smile. I'm also going to explain why there's a big difference. There's a difference between believing that people own it on some level and believing that each one owns half. And that's the Chiddush. Most we showed him say that when you're holding onto an object, we believe it's yours. Two people holding it, we believe it's both of theirs. We don't know if it's half and half. We just can't say Kol De'olam Gvar. Tosfos genuinely believes, and he believes he has a source in the Gemara. What's the source in the Gemara for Tosfos?
Gimel
and Aleph.
Yes.
What?
Gimel
and Aleph.
Gimel and
Aleph. All the other we showed him, by the way, all the other we showed him, by the way, don't quote Gimel and Aleph. One second. All the other Rishonim don't quote Gimel and Aleph. What do they quote as a basis for their Shita? All the other Rishonim who talk about Tfisa? Nascha the Rabbi Abba. They don't take Gimel and Aleph seriously. Tosfos takes Gimel and Aleph seriously. Two people are holding onto an object? Yes.
Yeah, but so does the Rosh. They both agree
the Rosh will talk about
that the Tfisa, they both agree that the Tfisa is a whole Tfisa on half the Talis. As opposed to the other Rishonim can view as a joint Tfisa on the whole Talis.
I don't know about that. We're going to talk about it. Give us a chance. We're going to see a lot more. But the Rush doesn't say this language of Tosfos.
I'm saying that they say Yachloku are the same thing. Because the reason is
not the same thing. The words themselves are not the same thing. They definitely are two ideas.
Right. The words are not the same thing, but they're getting to the same Yesod.
They are built off the same Yesod, which is belief in ownership. The question is how exactly that belief in ownership impacts our Piskei Halacha. The Rush says very clearly.
Well, it's more. It's the belief.
One
the ownership
second.
On
let's
the
take
half.
A look at the language of the Rush.
And then for Rebbe, Rebbe, it's Gishmak.
Therefore, the Yachloku. One second. I'm reading. I'm busy reading. Kol Davar Shanuroim Biyad Adam. Chashvin and Leishu Shalo. There are your words. Kedarmin and Gabi Nascha the Rebbe Abba. Hilkochi Efshar Lifso Kan Din Kol the Olim Gvar. He doesn't say, therefore, we say Yachloku. He's a Nascha the Rabbi Abba man. He's not an Anansari man. I'm telling you his words.
Rabbi, the Rosh.
You may not care about what the Rosh wrote.
No.
I don't want to say in the Rosh. The Rosh says it in the Rosh.
That's true. That the lines are exactly
I hold like the way the Rosh explains the Rosh. You can explain them otherwise, but Bavakasha.
Rabbi, we're saying the same thing. We both agree that the Rosh says that there's a full ownership on half the Talis. Yes or no? Yes.
I don't know fancy terms. I know what the Rishonim said. I know what the Rishonim said. The Rush, like Tosfos in Baba Basra, are different than the Ramban in that they're building off ownership.
Yes, the Ramban is much different.
I'm not getting into exactly what level of ownership. They're both building off ownership. The difference between the Rush and Tosfos in Baba Basra versus Tosfos in Baba Metzia is what that ownership generates. Does it generate the passeling of Kol De'olam Gvar, or the saying of Yachloku. Now, why the Rush doesn't say, one second. Why the Rush doesn't say that his belief in Balus generates Yachloku is a good question. It may be dependent on how they view the Tfisa. It may not. That's part of what I want to talk about tomorrow. But for today, I just wanted to point out how Tosfos Bava Metzia says more than the Rush. You agree that Tosfos Bava Metzia says more than the Rush?
No, no. No, they're saying the same thing. You're just inversing it. It's the same idea, though. But yeah.
Okay. I guess we had different ways of saying things.
The Chiddush is that it's a Yachloku Vava, according to them. That's
okay. just to finish the thought, the Yachloku here, according to Tosfos, is drastically different than the Yachloku in Bava Basra. Because here we have basis to believe in the Psak. One might compare it to the Yachloku of Rav by Shtei Shtaros, according to explanation given in the Gemara in Suvis Daf Tzadi Dalid, that it's built off the Shita of Rabbi Meir, that Edei Chsima Karsi, and therefore they really both do have a right to half, which would be real believability. But in any case, just to help understand the principle. Tomorrow, we're going to discuss more the expressions of the difference between these Shitos, the Ramban, Tosfos and Bava Basra, and the Rosh, as opposed to Tosfos and Bava Metzia, about, you know, how this Tfisa is working, where they bring their proof from, how they understand the Gemara and Daf Gimel, what the root of their machlokas is about how to see the Tfisa. This is what we're going to do tomorrow. Speak more about the differences between these Rishonim and how they understand Tfisa conceptually and how they understood the Sugya. And in Mir Tashem on Wednesday, we're going to talk about the implications of this debate, the level of Tfisa needed, the significance of other factors versus Tfisa, like Migu, Cheskes Marakama, Bari Vishema, the significance of Vaday Ramoy, and ultimately, most importantly, the role of the Shvuah. Because I believe the role of the Shvuah depends on what the basis of saying Yachloku is in the first place. And then on Thursday, we'll talk about the fact that there could be different tracks of Yachloku within our Mishnah. Fun, fun stuff. And we're just getting started here. We're just getting started. There's more Shnayim Ofsin coming up the pipe. But here we're doing it in an organized, clear way in Mir Tashem. Okay, any questions? Okay. Wonderful. Let's continue learning. More important than Shir, Astarim, and continued learning. Yasha Koach.